what makes us a little bit different is just sort of the advanced state we are, where we have upside on commodities and multiple commodities. We have upside on, you know, just our production growth in the pipeline we have in front of us. And we also have that discovery potential. I think one of the challenges we faced over the last while is people look at us ramping up our McCreedy West mine, which is relatively small in the portfolio we'll have. Levack and Crean Hill mines will be much bigger in production than McCreedy West. So people thought, you know, you're going to have to raise more money. We're going to wait to invest when there's a financing opportunity. Yeah. So there was this overhang. Just yesterday, we announced a $140 million strategic investment by Alpayana, which is a private Peruvian mining company. So now I think we've alleviated that stock overhang of a financing.
Hi guys, we're here at the Rule Symposium 2026 with Jason Jessup, CEO, Director of Magnum Mining. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing great today, Steve.
Well, tell me all about what's going on with the conference. It's been quite the turnout.
Yeah, it's a busy conference this year. I think there's a lot more people than last year. Tons of people coming around the booth. We brought down a couple extra Magna people to help man the booth and answer questions and meet investors. So far, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, before we start, actually, for those who don't know the story, can you tell what your website is, your ticker, how people can find you?
Sure. So we are NICU on the TSX. And our website is magnamining.com. We've been in Sudbury for 10 years. So it's a Sudbury, Ontario focused company with one producing copper mine and four past producing fully permitted mines in Sudbury. So large land package, about 500 square kilometers, a lot of exploration potential. But I think we are sitting very uniquely with a mine in production and a strong treasury to restart and build the other mines on our fully permitted properties.
So you say you got one producing mine. What are you producing? How much do you think you have? What's your grade like? If you can tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's a very polymetallic. So we usually report grades in copper equivalent, but we do have payable primarily copper right now. But we also have nickel that's payable, cobalt, platinum, palladium, gold, and silver. So a great, you know, portfolio of metals. You know, we're going to guiding to produce 16 to 18 million pounds copper equivalent this year at the McCreedy West mine. And, you know, so far we're off to a great start. We had record production in Q2, we just recently reported. But that's just one of our mines. We're also very actively working on our Levack mine next door. Similar metal mix, a little more exposure to nickel in that one. But we've had a discovery in 2025 of a zone we call R2. And R2 has had some spectacular grades. We just reported 3.4 meters of 29% copper equivalent. So very high grade copper, a lot of precious metals. So we're in a great jurisdiction, a lot of metal in the ground, and a great pipeline of projects to build in front of us.
So you said it's a great jurisdiction. What is that? Does that mean permitting is easier these days, or is that complicated more or less, or how's that timeline?
So when I say it's a great jurisdiction, and probably gets used a lot, yeah, you know, we're in a very de-risked jurisdiction. Sudbury is different. It's probably one of the best jurisdictions in Canada for a number of reasons. One of it's been a mining hub for 140 years. Originally dominated by Inco and Falconbridge, two large Canadian major mining companies that were acquired by Glencore and Vale. So those are our neighbors. But Glencore and Vale, and then there's us, and we're the only three producers in Sudbury. But because of the long history, all the infrastructure you need is already in Sudbury. That includes large processing mills with excess capacity, smelters, refinery, and a city of 190,000 people that are don't just embrace mining. You know, the community needs mining. And so, yeah, as far as, you know, permitting, because it's a brownfield site and operating so long, a lot of what we're trying to do is reactivate mines on already brownfield sites. So that is why we're sitting right now with producing mine and four fully permitted projects.
So you have four fully permitted projects. Is there a timeline on when the other ones are going to be, when are you going to do more with the other four?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because this is what makes it so unique. So our business model is to produce the ore, so build the mines, do the exploration, produce the ore, and then sell it to Vale or Glencore's mills, because they have excess capacity. Okay. What that allows us to do is have a very low capital cost startup, because we don't need to build mills and tailing storage facilities. And it also allows us to move very quickly. So our Levack mine, currently, it was operating up until 2019, produced about 65 million tons of ore from underground historically. And we have it right now, we have people working underground. There's a shaft, it's active. We have people diamond drilling underground. We have development crews drilling and blasting new drifts underground, driving towards our new discovery, the R2, as well as developing into other ore bodies that were existing when we bought the property. So that mine, we're completing a preliminary economic assessment on. It should be done this quarter.
Post for R2?
For the entire Levack mine.
Okay.
It won't include actually R2, because R2 is such a new discovery with only 14 holes in it. We don't have a resource for it yet. So our PEA will exclude R2, which I think is going to be total upside. Okay. But it will have the other, you know, approximately we have 12 million tons approximately of inferred and indicated resource that will be included in. So we think it'll be a quite robust mine, even without R2, and that'll be just upside. But we will be able to make a decision on restarting that. And again, since people are already active working underground, it simply means now we're going to start mining more ore, less waste, or ramping everything up. So that mine, you know, for all intents and purposes, will be a very quick restart and gradually start ramping up to whatever commercial production looks like. We'll be able to give more guidance once the PEA is out.
So how unique is it that you have five fully permitted sites?
I don't think there's any other company in the world that's a junior company like
I've
us that is in this position. Usually you have, you know, maybe one main asset that you're working on getting permitted or is partially permitted, and maybe some other earlier stage exploration or even early stage development projects. Sudbury, again, is just such a great place to do business. I've lived there for 26 years. Our head office is there. I worked for Inco. I worked for another company called FNX Mining.
Okay.
It was very successful in doing what we're doing. And the McCreedy West Mines in production was restarted by FNX back in 2003.
Yeah.
It's been operating continuously. I ran that mine, and now we own that mine. So it's a very unique jurisdiction, but it allows us to do things that in other jurisdictions would take many more years and hundreds of millions of more dollars.
So when we think of the Lassonde curve and you got five fully permitted sites, it's how do you people put you, where are you on the Lassonde curve? I mean, it seems like they got multiple waves. I mean, what's the best way to think of where you guys are?
I've been asked this question before, and it is. There's multiple places on the Lassonde curve we kind of fall at any time. And the way I explain it to investors is we really have three pillars of growth. First one's on production.
Yeah.
And with McCreedy West, you know, we generated positive cash in Q1, and you know, we had record production, and we'll put our financials later in August for Q2. But you know, we expect to grow production and grow cash flow as we restart new operations. So that's one, you know, way that people can value us is on growth of production and cash flows.
Yeah.
And then our second pillar of growth is on exploration, and that's a different part of the Lassonde curve. But with our R2 discovery, that shows the potential for high grade and potentially quite large systems that can be still discovered in a very mature camp within the shadow of a headframe. And then the third way that we are growing our company, and this has served us really well over the last 5 years in particular, is through accretive, synergistic M&A and acquiring other non-core assets in the Sudbury Basin that fit well with our team and our strategy, and doing that on an accretive basis. And again, we've done this multiple times in the last 5 years. So those are the three ways that we're growing our company. And you can kind of look at the Lassonde curve and say at any given time, could be on one of these curves on the upward trend. So it makes us a very unique company.
So you are primarily or exclusively rather Ontario, Sudbury.
That's correct.
And you don't discriminate between, or do you discriminate between gold versus copper, for instance, or is there a specific type of mining site that you prefer?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because Sudbury has three different styles of deposits.
Okay.
But over a very, you know, large basin, it's about 60 kilometers, you know, east-west and about 40 kilometers north-south in a big oval created by a meteorite impact 1.85 billion years ago. But when it did that, there were different deposit types are reformed. Some are almost one-to-one nickel to copper with a small amount of precious metals. Some are called footwall deposits that are very high in copper, where you can get grades of up to 30% copper in almost just pure massive chalcopyrite veins, but also a lot of precious metals. And we have multiple of those types of deposits on our properties. And then you have offset type deposits, which have all three. They have copper, nickel, and high precious metals. So those three different styles of deposits, and sometimes you will get those, like at least two of those, the contact nickel copper and the high grade copper footwall within the same elevation on one property. And that's what we have at McCreedy West. So right now we're focused on the more copper rich parts of our deposit, but just, you know, a little bit to the east, we would be into our nickel zones. So you have the ability, right now copper prices are high, nickel price a little lower. We're focusing on copper at McCreedy West, producing as much copper with those precious metals as we can, but we can turn back on nickel quite easily.
Yeah.
So it does give you that ability. And obviously if nickel prices shot up and there was some disruption in supply, we could act very quickly to turn that back on because that area is already developed. We just need to start mining in it again.
So we have a lot of junior mining companies here at the Rick Roll Symposium. How do you guys stand out, or what are people most excited about when they talk to you? And on the other side of it, like, what are the hesitations that you're, the questions that you're facing that?
Yeah, well, first I'd like to say there's a great like group of companies here at this conference. Rick does a fantastic job, you know, bringing in companies. I believe he invests in all of them.
Yes, he
does. And these are ones that he's done his homework on. So it's nice to be in a group of such, I'd say, high potential companies. For us, what makes us a little bit different is just sort of the advanced state we are, where we have upside on commodities and multiple commodities. We have upside on, you know, just our production growth in the pipeline we have in front of us. And we also have that discovery potential. I think one of the challenges we faced over the last while is people look at us ramping up our McCreedy West mine, which is relatively small in the portfolio we'll have. Levack and Crean Hill mines will be much bigger in production than McCreedy West. So people thought, you know, you're going to have to raise more money. We're going to wait to invest when there's a financing opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was this overhang. Just yesterday, we announced a $140 million strategic investment by Alpayana, which is a private Peruvian mining company. So now I think we've alleviated that stock overhang of a financing.
Congratulations.
Because, thank you. So, you know, when this closes, we'll be in a very strong position to really put the pedal to the metal and start accelerating the restart of the Levack mine and our development of our Crean Hill mine.
If you can tell me a little bit about the share structure in terms of insiders, institutions, who's the major shareholders you can share, and also how much stake do you have in the game?
Sure, so I'm going to, because we haven't closed the recent strategic financing, I'll just leave that aside. So we have just over 250 million shares outstanding, currently trading around $2.40 Canadian on the TSX. We have our biggest shareholder currently is Dundee Corp, led by Jonathan Goodman. They own about 18.5% of our company. Now there's a number of institutional investors we've brought in, but none of them would be above 9.9%, so I won't name them. I personally own about 10.6 million shares of Magna, so I've never sold a share. I'm a long-term, you know, focused on growth CEO, so I'm super optimistic, and you know, I participated in almost every financing. So yeah, that's kind of the share structure. Currently, as of the end of Q1, we were sitting with about $36 million cash in the bank, with considerable receivables as well from the ore we were selling to Vale. So in a solid position, and generated about $3.3 million in mine profit.
So you spoke a little bit about your experience, your history, but if you can share a little bit more about the background that you have, as well as the team that you have in place that sets you guys up for success.
Sure. So I moved to Sudbury in about 1999. I went and worked for a company called Inco, which is one of the biggest mining company historically in Sudbury, and worked as an underground supervisor at one of their mines. Spent about 5 years there before going to his junior startup called FNX Mining. FNX had purchased five past producing mines from Inco, It was the first time Inco had ever sold any mines in Sudbury. A gentleman by the name of Terry McGibbon was the CEO of FNX. So I went over there to work with them and led the team at the McCreedy West and then later the Levack mine in the operation side of it. We built three mines, got them running well, generating lots of cash, made some discoveries, and were acquired for $1.8 billion in 2010. And FNX from 2000 to 2010 was the best performing stock on the TSX. I stuck around for another year and a half before going on to do other things. And then the company that acquired FNX was acquired by KGHM out of Poland. And I recognized very quickly that KGHM didn't really look at these Sudbury mines as core to them. There wasn't enough capital being invested. They didn't really understand the culture. A lot of the good people were leaving. So that's the opportunity I saw for another entrepreneurial junior company to bring that energy and creativity and ownership we had at FNX, that culture, back to Sudbury. So I started bringing back the band again, so to speak. And so myself, our COO, Jeff Huffman, our SVP of exploration, Dave King, are all former FNX colleagues, as well as a number of other management people within the company. So so that's kind of our experience, is we've done this before with FNX. I think we're in a better time right now because the two mills in Sudbury, one owned by Vale and Glencore, are underutilized. They're very hungry for ore. They recognize what we can bring to the table as far as being a supplier of ore for their mills. Mm-hmm. I think that opens up the discussion for other acquisitions of non-core properties they have that we can bring into production. So it's a it's an exciting time with a team that's essentially done it before.
So I'm sure it makes a big of a difference to not only bring back experienced people, but people that have proven track record, as well as people that you've worked with as a team. Does that make a difference?
Absolutely. You know, I would say you need to completely trust the people you're working with, and having a familiarity of spending, you know, last couple decades knowing these people and working with them. You know, we're so in sync. Everyone knows what they need to do. Everybody's aligned. It's so much fun. It's really, I was telling someone earlier, really, we have a group of executives that are all friends. Like, we're friends and executives. And it's great. And I think it's the key to success. People are always the most important part of any business. When I have friends that ask me about investing in junior mining, I always say, invest in people. Invest in people. If you trust the people you're investing in, you'll seldom go wrong. And the markets can change and these things happen. You can't always predict that. But if you have good people you're investing in, you know, you'll win more than you'll lose.
So I think that any CEO, I think you would agree with me that any CEO worth their salt would say that their company needs to be valued more than they are. No one's going to say it should be valued less. When you think of your company, what do you compare yourself with? Like, what's your market cap and what are your biggest comps and where do you think you should be valued?
Yeah, so that's a lot to discuss, I guess. We're currently valued at about 600, 625 million Canadian market cap. You know, we were trading higher in January as the markets got really hot.
Yeah.
And they've cooled off a little bit since then. And I think we did have that stock overhang. We've had a couple of good days of trading since we announced yesterday that financing. But, you know, there's really not many comps. If you look out there, you know, for junior copper producers with exposure to precious metals and, you know, there's not very many out there you can look to. And so I would say like Arizona Sonoran that was acquired by Hudbay, you know, that would be, I say was one of our comps, no longer, because they get taken out because there's just not that many of them. So where should we be valued? Well, I can't tell you for sure. Analysts, you know, are valuing us anywhere at $5 to $6 a share right now. Where I see us going, and this is sort of my goal, by 2030, I want us to be a $5 billion company. And how are we gonna do that? We're gonna do that through organic growth, about building the mines we have permanent right in front of us, about getting them operating well, about making more discoveries, and of course, looking to make accretive acquisitions that are gonna further that pipeline for growth. So that's what we're gonna do. And back in, you know, when I probably sat with you here last year, we had a market cap that would have been half of what ours is now.
You've done a lot in the last year.
We've done a lot, and I said we want to get to $1 billion. I still, you know, I'm very focused. That's not very far in the future. as we start to make announcements. We have some studies coming out that'll start to be able to paint the picture of what our future cash flows are going to look like. And people are going to understand the low capital intensity of our business plan. And I think, you know, the metals that we are mining right now and exploring for, I think are some very hot metals with lots of upside. So, we're in a good place right now for growth, and I'm in it for the long haul, and I do truly believe we will be a $5 billion company by 2030, maybe sooner.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing your story again. Great to catch up. Enjoy the rest of the symposium. But before I let you go, if you can tell our audience one more time where people can find you, how people can ask questions, or where they can trade, and if you can give us your website one more time.
Absolutely. So take a look at our website, magnamining.com. If you want to send out an email, info@magnamining.com, and it'll get to our IR team and ultimately get to me if you have a question. Or if you want to just send me a direct email, sometimes, you know, they get buried a little bit, but jason.jessup@magnamining.com, and I try to always respond to our investors that reach out and have questions.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the rest
Steve.
Of the symposium.
Take care.
Bye.